Lebony, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest shocking Manchester United transfer news. How are you all doing? Well, you might not be doing so well when I give you this update from Fabrizio Romano that Man United are doing absolutely nothing when it comes to transfers this summer so far. Not from my mouth, not from Ben Jacobs' mouth. This is from the mouth of Fabrizio Romano, that United's intention is this. The plan for the summer transfer window is still very basic with nothing concrete. The plan from within the club is to first guarantee Champions League qualification, then make a final decision on the manager, and then after that, only begin planning for the summer. I mean, look, I said this last night on the Saturday show. Historically, Ineos works slower than the Glazers. I mean, this is slow. This is proper slow. I mean, to be in that position, I mean, is anyone going to come out and defend this? I mean, it's incredible. Incredible. There was even, I can't find the direct quote from Romano, and it might not be true, but there's even some aggregators out there saying that we've made no contact with Anderson at all, despite him being a number one target with us for 9 months. And you sort of do look at it, and I agree with Martin. This is a joke. This doesn't matter whether you're pro Wilcox or pro Ineos or Glazers or what. It doesn't actually matter whether you're Brighton or Man United. To not have plans in place for your summer transfer window because you're waiting to tick things off is why we will always fail, because football doesn't work like this. Football doesn't work. You know, it's like, you know, having a paper round in the 90s and, you know, you want to buy yourself a computer game and you save the money each week. And you're only buying it when you've saved the money. You're not going to borrow it off anybody or anything like that. You're just going to buy it when you've saved up. We're not, that's not how the world works in football. You can't just go, well, we're not talking to anybody until we've done this, this, and this. If you snooze, you will bloody well lose. We've also got a big update coming in on Fabrizio, not on Fabrizio Romano, on Marcus Rashford as well. So look, lots to get into on the show this morning. Also a bit of an update on Edison. Sorry, I've been out at a football match this morning and I sprayed my face in sun cream, which you should do. You know, you've got to protect your skin. But there is a gleam on my forehead that you could probably use it as a mirror at the moment. I apologies for the distraction of my shiny forehead. But yeah, you could eat your dinner off that. It's shine bright like a diamond, isn't it? Anyway, try not to get distracted. There are some serious topics to talk about. Anyway, look, I have to say, what are your thoughts on that? The plan for Man United is to get Champions League football first, then make a decision on the manager, and only then begin planning for the summer. This is slow. This is slower than a snail's turd. It's really slow. And it's not actually acceptable. And it is quite concerning. But it is what's been happening for the last couple of years at United. We tend to ignore June, if we're being honest. We like to put out little briefs to the journalists that the transfer window doesn't actually open till the middle of June. And it's like we don't start working till then. We have such a small opportunity. Forget the size of the window, right? We have so much to do in such a short period of time. We've got to get a manager, even if it's Carrick. You've then got to go and, you know, decide who's going, who's staying. And it just feels a little bit unambitious, if I'm being honest. And it also feels like, you know, a lack of ambition can be a lack of desire, but a lack of conviction, a lack of ambition can be a lack of conviction, in the sense of it's unambitious to wait and let everybody else do stuff. It's unambitious to do nothing, but it's also unambitious to not do stuff. And I do sometimes wonder if United's tactic is this. Well, we do want that player, but he's gone now. Oh, we do want that manager, but he's signed a new contract now. And is that convenience? Oh, you know, we did really want Thomas Tuchel, but he has signed a new contract to England. So that saved us 15 million. Carrick's only going to cost 5. I mean, you can start with your theories on that, because I do think there's an element of truth to it. A lack of ambition can be tactical. Well, we really, really want Elliot Anderson. You've not picked... Yeah, Elliot Anderson's agent's there. Do you want to talk? No, we're waiting. Do you realise we're about to sign for Man City? Yeah, we really, really want Elliot Anderson. I'm here. I want to talk to you now. What's your offer? Well, we're waiting. But we really, really, really want him. He signs for Man City. Oh, we really wanted him as well. Yeah, that's just saved us 100 million and 250 grand a week. That is what worries me. It's the lack of ambition, which is actually, I think, calculated in certain circumstances where, Oh, we really want this. We really want that. We really want that. Oh, they've gone there. They've gone there. They've gone there. Oh, no. We'll have to get the Labour. So, look, I personally, and tell me whether you agree or you don't, I mean, it was only a month ago we were in the March international break saying United need to be talking to players. I think it's safe to say in the March international break, United had a holiday because we didn't speak to any managers and we didn't speak to any players. And that's coming in from credible journalists. So in the March international break, where we had 3.5 weeks off, United did nothing. Absolutely nothing. We didn't speak to managers. We didn't speak to agents. We didn't speak to players. We literally sat on our arse for 3.5 weeks and did nothing. To add to the 3.5 months we've sat on our arse and done nothing since Amrin was sacked. So, you know, G-Man says, stay calm, no need to panic. We will buy players. Of course we'll buy players, G-Man. I'm not saying that it's going to be, you know, a wipeout of a summer. But the problem is, by the time we start doing stuff, what's available? And maybe that's a tactic. We want to operate in a market that's very small and very cheap. You know? And as Malipa says, all roads at the moment lead to Carrick and star signing the Labour. And I think that ultimately isn't going to be good enough. But, you know... Liam says, oh no, so like 4 more months of Belabor talks, it's close, so close, closer than close. If Man United's plan, on a serious note, is to give the job to Michael Carrick and chase Belabor all summer, reap the whirlwind of shit you're going to get because you ain't exciting anybody. No one's going to get excited by that. If you bring in, I don't know, Nagelsmann and Tchouaméni or Tonali, you will get excitement. But if they're going to spin this out as... It's just pure incompetence, in my opinion. But some people might think it's excellence. You know, one man's plate of shit is another man's plate of lasagna. Patrick Lynch says, it looks like they're looking at everything and thinking this is all right, isn't it? Do they not realise that despite our position in the table, we're struggling to maintain just this? Next season is going to be even tougher. Look, even in relation to... Like, if what Romano is saying is true, and, you know, why would he say it? First of all, it's Champions League. Then it's the manager. Then it's the players. How many weeks are we thinking there? I don't think we can officially get Champions League until next weekend at the earliest. We can't get Champions League football until Brighton lose to Newcastle because, I mean, if we beat Brentford tomorrow, which I think we will... The earliest we can get Champions League qualification is when Brighton lose to Newcastle. If they beat Newcastle, it goes on another week, unless we beat Liverpool. So next weekend is the earliest we can get Champions League qualification. Then you've got to go through the manager process, which could be... So next weekend's the start of May. Let's say we announce the manager in the next week or two after that. That's the middle of May. So the middle of May is when we start talking about targets. The World Cup starts in the middle of June. I just think it's... there must be a reason behind this and all roads lead to financial. I just can't figure it out yet. My prediction, Carrick gets a 3-year deal, says Adnan. Underwhelming signing in the summer. Don't address squad depth issue for Champions League. Back to 6th or 9th next season. Same old, same old. Stuart Chase, thank you very much for your super chat, says, genius, delay the appointment of a manager so you can claim there was only time for 3 or 4 transfers. Well, they love that. They absolutely love that. They love to delay stuff. Talking of which, and I don't want to overload people's concerns this morning, but this came in from Fabrizio Romano this morning as well, on Marcus Rashford, scored a good goal for Barcelona yesterday. I look, honestly, I don't get what Barcelona are doing. They've got Rafinha, they've got Olmo, they've got Yamal, they've got, what's his name? Fernan. They've got option and they've got Rashford. They've got good players and Rashford's done quite well for them. He's had a decent season for them. I don't know why they're not happy just to take Marcus Rashford because he's happy there. He's done quite well. He offers them something. But this is what Romano had to say. And remember, if Rashford comes back... That presents 2 major problems for Man United. If Rashford signs for Barcelona, it's over. There's nothing that needs to be done. He's gone. He moves on with his career and we move on with ours. That's more time to do other stuff. If Rashford doesn't go to Barcelona or we spend all summer negotiating with Barcelona, that's time we don't have. If you've got a 4-hour slot this afternoon, and you've got to clean the car, make the dinner, cut the grass, and you know, that's your 4 hours, right? And then you go to the toilet and get constipated for an hour. That something's got to go. The grass is getting long, or the car's not getting washed. Yeah, this is the thing about the Rashford deal, right? If he doesn't go to Barcelona easily, we are then allocating time on a big deal. Or if he stays, that causes its own problems as well. So this is a frustration, again, because it's time on something that wasn't meant to be time. And we haven't got a lot of time this summer. But look, Fabrizio says, on Marcus Rashford, my understanding is that at the moment, Barcelona are pushing on, let's renegotiate the loan deal for another year. United are saying, buy the player for 30 million or he is returning here and we assess what's the best solution for him. Direct sale to another club or anything else. Barca are also considering alternative targets. So I just think in relation to Rashford, here we are talking about, well, we're not talking to any players. And that's the breaking news this morning. We're not talking to players. We're not in advanced talks with any player. That's what's coming out. Nothing's concrete. Not from me, not from our source, not from you, from Fabrizio Romano. Nothing is concrete at the moment until we've got Champions League football and appointed a manager. Incredible. Incredible when we need three midfielders, a left back, a left winger, a striker and a backup goalkeeper. We're not in advanced talks with anybody because we're waiting to give the job to Carrick and get Champions League football. I mean, what are we waiting for? My big answer is if the process is Champions League football, new manager, then we'll start talking to players. Hello. You're going to get Champions League football and most people think you're giving it to Carrick. So why are we waiting? If you're actually going to interview managers, sort of understand. If there was any jeopardy for the Champions League, sort of understand. But everyone thinks you're giving it to Carrick and everyone knows you've got Champions League football. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Makes no sense. But the irony of this is that Barcelona are obviously making their mind up about Rashford and want to talk about it. So, you know, clubs are doing stuff. Man City are in advanced talks with Anderson. Chelsea are getting close to giving the job to Iriola. I don't know whether Iriola should get the job, but this reports this morning, also from Romano, Chelsea Iriola is getting closer. They had a manager last week. They might have a new manager next week. We sacked our manager in January and we still don't know what we're doing. And this is what I mean about delays. Snooze, you lose. I will argue with anybody about defending slow owners. You will lose in football. If you are slow, you will lose. Chelsea thought Rosinho was their manager a week ago. He's gone, and now they're close to giving it to Iriola. If you snooze, you lose. It's as simple as that. But on the Rashford situation, I do sometimes fear, and I don't know what you think, that United think they can negotiate with Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich and Man City, and we probably can't even negotiate with Everton these days. We do not have any power in the Rashford race at all. And sitting there and saying, we want 25 million, we want 25 million. Well, ultimately, you almost want to go, they're not going to pay it. They're not going to pay it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to loan him out for another year to cover his wages off? Or are you going to bring him back and watch nobody else take him as well? Are you actually going to integrate him back into the squad? So it's all right, United saying, we want 25, we want 25, we want 25. They don't have to pay it. They don't have to pay it. And Barcelona have got the power here, especially if Rashford want. What if Barcelona have said to Rashford, we really, really want to keep you, but Marcus, you've been at Barcelona. We really want to keep you. If we give Man United 25 million, that 25 million can go on a player that's going to make us better next year with you here anyway. So we want you to stay, but we want to keep you on loan. Still pay your wages, still get your game time, but we want you to stay, but we want to use that money to make the team stronger, which benefits you anyway. They might have Rashford on board. They might be like, look, obviously, understand that you want us to sign you, but we can't. We want to buy a couple of other players and keep you. So you either go back to Man United or you stay here as a loan player. And if Rashford wants to stay, you've got Rashford wanting to stay at Barcelona. You've got Barcelona wanting a loan deal. What play have Man United got? No, we're not doing that. So I think it's I think it's a difficult one. But my only concern about Rashford is just the amount of time it's going to take to resolve that when we've seen it so many times before. We can't work on more than one deal at once. So it's the summer transfer window. You need three midfielders, but you're also negotiating with Barcelona about Rashford. And then it falls through, and then you've got to negotiate with somebody else. We're making jobs for ourselves that we haven't got time to do, you know? And that's the problem. If we do get a left winger, where do you see Cunha playing, mate? Says Brett. But I think this is a great point. Like, if we buy a left back, what are we doing with Luke Shaw? You know, a summer transfer window is full of, you know, optimism and fantasy when you're talking about it in late April, early May. But by the time you hit July, you start to hit the reality of, well, we're not getting a centre-back, are we? Because we've given Maguire a new contract. We're not getting a left-winger because we're probably bringing Rashford back. We're not really going to get a left-back because we're not going to bench Luke Shaw on 170 grand a week, are we? And I don't want to say those things, but we didn't buy a midfielder last summer and we desperately needed one. So nobody can say to me, oh, you know, you're being a bit negative there. We will get a left-winger. We will get a left-back. I mean, you have to look in reality. We're not going to buy a centre-back, are we? Because we've got Heaven, Yoro, Maguire, De Ligt, Martinez. We're not going to buy a centre-back when we've got five centre-backs for two positions. We're not going to buy a left-back, are we? Because we've got Luke Shaw and Dorgu can play there. I can start to see things that they don't do because they run out of time and they run out of money. But look, even Fabrizio today in his update was saying about the midfield, Man United are looking to buy possibly two midfielders. Possibly two. Possibly two. I mean, have they not figured it out? Have they not figured it out, right? You play with two midfielders. You play twice a week. They play 90 minutes twice a week. If you buy two midfielders, you've only got three, which means you start two and one's a sub. That's gonna fall off a cliff very, very quickly. We've got to buy, have to buy three midfielders, not two. Have to buy three. Let me have a quick look at the chat. Sorry, my live chat had just completely frozen there, but I hope you're all doing very well as always. It's going to be Belaber, Edison and Scott. Would you be happy with that, says Ale. I mean, look, we can all build three. What I would say first and foremost is I'd be very happy with three. Remember, it could be Belaber and Edison, and that's not good enough. So straight away, if it was Belaber, Edison and Scott, it's not what I want. I said last night, I think you've got Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes, Tchouaméni and Anderson available. You've got to get one of them. You've got to get an elite one. So it can't be Belaber, Edison and Scott because you haven't got Tonali, Bruno G, Tchouaméni or Anderson. The four of them are available. You've got to get one of them as your elite midfield signing. So straight away, I wouldn't be happy that we haven't got one of them, but I would be happy with three. So, you know, we've got to get three. Tristan says, it's my best friend's birthday. Can you give him a chat up, please? It would have been really useful, Tristan. I noticed your chat. It would have been very useful if you told us his name. Fail. Happy birthday to Tristan's friend. I never thought I'd ever say this, but I'd rather we just had the Glazers. We're becoming the English Nice, says Dirty D Devil. Yeah, I mean, I sort of refuse to go down the road of the Glazers being better than Ineos. But there's, I mean, if we're being completely honest, there's not a world of difference, is there, really? Rub says, morning, lads. I hope you're doing very well. Thank you very much. What do you think is going to happen with Ugarte? Yeah, I know where, I sort of think I know where you're coming from there. Yes, okay, let me address this. So there's a lot of talk that, you know, I want to get rid of Ugarte, but just imagine this scenario for a moment, right? We want a left back. We want a left winger. We want a backup striker. We want three midfielders. In reality, we've got Luke Shaw and Dorgu. We don't need a left back. On the left wing, what are you going to do with Cunha? We don't need a left winger. Up front, we can play Mbeumo up there and we've got Sesko. We don't need a striker. And in the midfield, if we keep Ugarte, we only need two. So my concern about this summer transfer window is that we all know we need between five and eight players In fact, let's say between minimum of six signings we need this summer because of the volume of games and the problems in the squad. We need six players minimum. We've already been briefed that it might be four. So I think with the midfield, when you mention Ugarte, Casemiro's gone. So you've got Mainoo and Ugarte. If Ugarte goes, you've got to buy three. If Ugarte stays, you can get away with buying two. If I'm worried about the left back not coming in because we've got Luke Shaw and Dorgu, if they keep Ugarte, they only need to buy two players. We've literally given a new contract to Maguire on the same wages so we don't have to buy a centre-back. So the chances of Ugarte being part of pre-season, I wouldn't say it's beyond impossible because if Ugarte goes, you've only got Mainoo, you've got to buy three. So look, you've got to look at the reality of the summer transfer window because nobody can sit here and say, well, we will buy a left-back, we will buy a winger and we will buy three midfielders because last summer we needed a midfielder and we didn't get one. And we didn't get one in January either. So they could easily go, let's buy two midfielders. We don't need a left back. We don't need a striker. Let's maybe buy a winger. They might only buy three or four. They might only buy three or four players, end of story. And when you're run like Man United's run, do you want to spend 300 million or do you want to spend 200 million? They want to spend 200 million. They're a business. We want to spend three. We want to spend 300 million because we know the problems and we know what needs to be done. But the way that club's run, considering the Glazers have never put a pound in and Ineos are there to make money as well, if they can spend 200 million pounds on transfers, they'll argue why they should. Now, in fairness, Wilcox might be there going, we do need a left back, we do need a winger, and be arguing for it. And they might just go, no, we don't. We're paying 170 grand a week to Luke Shaw and you want to buy a left back. Remove Luke Shaw. I can't do it. Well, you're not getting a left back. Those conversations have happened at United before, by the way. Like, they tried to get rid of Casemiro two summers in a row because of his wage, and that stopped us going for more midfielders. So you do have that problem in the summer. I want to buy a left back. We need a left back. Get rid of Luke Shaw then. Well, I can't. Well, we're not buying a left back while we've got somebody on 170k a week. So it can become problematic. Of course it can. Savage says Mount is a problem. I think Mason Mount is not going anywhere. And he is a problem. He earns £1 million a month. Fortunately, he's not a midfielder. He can't play in the midfield. And nobody would ever go anywhere near him. So there you go. Glenn C, thanks very much for your super chat this morning. Please do smash a like on the video, by the way, if you're watching. Let's see if we can get 1,000 likes. Got nearly 6K watching. Let me know your thoughts. I want to just get some of your thoughts about the breaking news coming out from Fabrizio Romano that Man United are not in talks with transfers at the moment. Nothing is concrete. First, they want to qualify for the Champions League. Then they want to sort the manager out. And only then will they start talking about transfer plans. Let me just say, right, if United like Edison and Atletico Madrid agree a fee with Atalanta tomorrow, he signs for Atletico Madrid. We sit here waiting for Champions League football and the manager before we discuss it. That's it. And Edison's just an example. Anderson might decide to go to Man City because we never talked to him. You are missing out on players because you are working to your own ridiculous parameters again. We won't buy players over 26. We won't buy players until we've qualified for the Champions League, we've sorted the manager out, and we've all had a bloody good chat. Yeah? We won't be doing that. But Gaffer, we could get Wharton. He's in advanced talks with Liverpool, but if we talk to him in the next 2 days, we've got him. Forget it. We're qualifying for the Champions League. We're going to get the manager job sorted, and then I booked us a lovely meal in Manchester. We're all going to have a bloody good chat, but not till the middle of May. So if Wharton doesn't want to wait, Wharton can go. And that's the joke for me. It's the rigidness, and this is probably why Nice have failed under Ineos as well. It's the rigidness of trying to run a football club like a bloody business, and you can't do that. You got to be quick. You got to be reactive. You got to be ready. You've got to take risks. Can you see Favell wanting to stick around if they ignore his manager and player suggestions in favour of Wilcox's in the summer, says Glenn C? I mean, from what I know about Favell, he's very well liked at Manchester United, but he won't sit being Wilcox's understudy for long. The one person in the industry that, at Man United, that actually has a level of respect is Favell. Wilcox doesn't have a great reputation. Berarda doesn't have a great reputation. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe certainly doesn't. But Favell, he's come out of the last 2 years with his reputation enhanced. Considering he'd been at Chelsea and in a very short period of time and gone, coming into Man United, his CV looks really good. And I think it was about 3 months ago I was talking about this. How long does Favell stay at Man United before he gets offered the director of football job somewhere else? I mean, it could be this summer. You never know with those sort of things. So Favell isn't director of football at Man United, but he's proven that's what he should be doing. And, you know, Favell should be head of recruitment as a football club, but I think he technically is at Man United, but he's understudy to Wilcox. What I'm saying is he should be a sporting director. I don't think Favell will stay around for long. I don't, because even if you rate Wilcox or you don't, Favell is under Wilcox. And we all want promotion. So, you know, if a club comes in and says, we want you as you know, if Newcastle came in to Favell and said, we want you he'd be brilliant for Newcastle, wouldn't he? I don't know whether Newcastle need him, but at Newcastle, he'd be brilliant. Because if you look at Favell, if I'm the owner of a football club and I look at Favell, I go, look at some of the deals he's worked on at Chelsea, at Man United, but also he's brilliant at youth recruitment. So if we need to bring in a French midfielder who's playing in mid-table French football and he's 20 and we get him for 15 million and in 18 months he's worth 50 million, those sort of deals are exactly what Favell's good at. So I don't know how long he will stay at the football club as an understudy to Wilcox, not because he doesn't like Wilcox, but because I think he is good enough to be a sporting director for a football club. So it's a great point. I've not heard anything, but we did talk about it 3 months ago, didn't we, Glenn? And I don't think he will hang around for that long when he gets out offered a better job, because it's promotion, isn't it? You're understudy to Wilcox, or you've got Wilcox's job at another club, you know? Al Amir says, fact number 22, Ineos are adamant on channeling all revenues to the stadium, basically drafting to delay decisions on recruitment. They don't want to spend. Well, look, slightly boring for a Sunday morning, but we sometimes spend, we spend between 20 and 60 million pounds a year in debt interest. That doesn't reduce the debt. That's just interest on the debt. When we start building this stadium, it ain't magic beans. It's 2 billion pounds on a club that's already got £1 billion of debt, and it will be private investment. But if I'm a private investor, I'm not going to Sir Jim Ratcliffe and saying, here's 2 billion to build a stadium. I don't want anything in return. Why would I spend 2 billion on a stadium out of the goodness of my heart for Man United? I'd say, well, I want 25% in the club then. Because that's you paid less than that for 25% of the club. That's not on the table. No one's looking to buy Man United. So if I'm that private investor and I say, look, £2 billion, build the stadium, I'm getting something back. It's either, you know, 3 billion back in repayments, or it's ownership of the stadium, or it's a percentage of earnings for the next 20 years. People don't want to have this conversation, but private investment doesn't work. Like, you've got £1 billion of debt, you borrow 2 billion to build the stadium, and that 2 billion doesn't sit with the club. So we have got to start thinking like, we are in debt. We pay hundreds of millions of pounds a year in debt interest, transfer fees that are owed. We've now got to find a way to fund a stadium that's going to cost at least £2 billion. And there'll be some sort of debt attached to that. So that money is not going to, you know, if we'd been bought by Qatar, they would have built that stadium out of the goodness of their heart. They'd have just built it. And there would have been no debt on the club. As we know with the Glazers, they wouldn't give you the steam off their own piss, let alone pay for a stadium. So this has got to get paid for somehow. Will it have an impact on our ability in the transfer market? I don't think they dare talk about it at the moment, because if they said this summer will be challenging because of the stadium that's got to be built but isn't even being built yet, that would be bad PR. I think once it starts getting built, I think we will have regular summer transfer windows where they go, it's a challenging market because we're trying to build this super stadium as well. I think that will start happening, and it probably will be a factor this summer. I don't think they'll say it's a reason, but it has to be. Where is this money coming from? I don't know. Gaz says none of the last 15 minutes is factual. It's all Mark's feelings. Well, mate, instead of preaching your non-factual statement, why don't you come back with something? Because I think everything I've spoken about in the last 15 minutes is completely and utterly viable. And we are the biggest and best Man United fan community in the world. And a lot of our conversation, hello, is debate. But please tell us, Gaz, in your infinite wisdom this Sunday lunchtime, how the fuck Man United are paying for £2 billion stadium over the next 10 years. How are we doing that when we've already got debts and issues? How are we doing it then? Is the magic fairy coming down with your tooth and giving us £2 billion? You can even get in the real world, or you can get in the fantasy world. And as we were talking about, when Fabrizio talks about we're not talking to players yet because we've got to get Champions League football and a manager first, has anybody actually thought this club is so risk averse they don't want to do anything until it's absolutely factual that we've got Champions League football? Does it not concern people that we won't do anything until we've got Champions League football? Even though we all know we're going to get it, the club is so risk averse they won't even dare risk starting to talk to players until the Champions League is absolutely nailed on. Even though we know we're going to get it, the club won't start talking to players until it's absolutely factual and no one can take it away. Does that not tell you something about our funds? That even though we know we're going to get Champions League football at some point in the next 4 weeks, because to not get it, we'd need to lose 4 games in a row, they still won't talk to people until absolutely Omar Berada can say, there it is. Absolutely confirmed, we've got the Champions League money. Is it not concerning that we won't do anything until we've got Champions League football? Because other clubs would go, we're definitely going to get it, get on with it, this is going to help us next season, but we won't do it. So you talk about facts. Well, we're not in the boardroom. We can't have facts. You know, we don't have that information, but we can take a very good calculated guess that United financially are shitting themselves because they've got to build this stadium and they're not moving on players until they know they've got that Champions League money, which suggests that it's precarious. And look, I hope I'm wrong, Gaz. I really hope I'm wrong. I hope we are buying a left back. I hope we are buying a left winger. And I hope we are buying 3 midfielders. But if I said to you, do you want to bet £100? We're going to get a left back, a left winger and 3 midfielders. Or do you want to bet £100 that we don't get a left back and we stick with Shaw and Dorgu? We don't get a winger. We bring Rashford back and we stick with Cunha out there. And we don't get 3 midfielders because we keep Ugarte. And we didn't buy a midfielder last summer. So, you know, look, the proof will be in the pudding. And I always say, we do this every year. What are your expectations for the summer transfer window? I want 3 midfielders, a left back, a left winger, non-negotiable. Those 5 players have to happen because the market dictates it. You've got people like Truffert. You've got people like Mattson. You've got good left backs available, ready to take a step up. You've got people like Nusa at Leipzig, ready to take a step up. And the midfield market is awash with players. So they're out there. We need them. We have to get those 5 players. I want more than that, but they're the 5 non-negotiables. 3 midfielders, a left back and a left winger. Do I think we're going to get them? I'd be very surprised. If we don't get them, I won't give this transfer window higher than a 6 again. And when it comes to August the 31st, you mark the transfer window at a 6, don't you? That's what you do. Diouf at West Ham's interesting. Fernandez at West Ham is interesting. These people are available. They're absolutely available. I think after results yesterday, maybe West Ham go down. So there are players at West Ham that we can go for as well. So there's lots of options out there. And look, look, maybe we're waiting to get Champions League football. We appoint the manager and then we've got 500 million to spend. Let's wait and see. But either way, I still think it sounds very slow to me. And also, I think this Rashford thing is a little bit of a concern because it's just more time. And it will be a very contracted summer transfer window. Obviously, you can talk to Tonali, you can talk to Belaiba. They're players that aren't in the World Cup. But the vast majority of players, as we know, will be playing in the World Cup. Are you worried about Arsenal going for Edison? No. No, I don't. No. I'm not worried about that because I think that Edison's a decent player. And at Arsenal, I could see him coming in and being a good supplement to the likes of Odegaard, Rice and Zubimendi. But at United, he can't really be the star signing. He could be the second or third signing. That might make a little bit of sense, I suppose. What do you think about Iriola going to Chelsea, Mark? This is coming in from Fabrizio. Iriola is keen on becoming the new Chelsea manager and love to remain in the Premier League. I mean, look, as a poll, who would you take? Very, very quick. Get involved. Carrick or Iriola? Who would you take as Man United's manager? I'm sat here now. I've got the power. This poll decides Man United's manager for the next 3 years. It's Carrick or Iriola. You have the power. You vote for the manager. I think Iriola at Bournemouth has done an incredible job. They've got the longest unbeaten run in the Premier League. They could be kingmakers, really, because Man City have got to go to Bournemouth. They play really good football. I think at times they play a bit open, but the thing about Iriola is I think the better players he gets, the stronger he'll become. I think the dangerous thing, there's two things I would say about Iriola, and let's pretend he's going to Chelsea and not Man United. There's two things about Iriola, right? He could do a Vincent Kompany where when you're with Burnley, it doesn't work in the Premier League, but then you go to Bayern and it rips everybody apart. So his style of football could be better with better players because he makes it work with, you know, mid players, if we're being blunt, and players leave and he still makes it work. Like Kirkez leaves, Truffert comes in. Semenyu leaves, Kroupi comes in. It works. His system works and it works really, really well. And if you give him better players, it might work even better. So there's a potential improvement with Iriola, the better players you give him. The flip side is Bournemouth isn't Man United or Chelsea. So he goes to a big club. Can he deal with big players? They're the two dangers with Iriola. But I suppose it's only the same danger as Carrick. Carrick knows a lot of these players at Man United because he worked with them under Ollie. And they're senior players. So they like him. As they go and new players come in and we play more games, can Carrick deal with that? So would I take Iriola over Carrick? Yes. It's close, but I would because he's a better coach. He's a better coach. The risk with Iriola is the Man United job too big with him for him? The risk with Carrick is he a good enough coach? So I think it's about, I probably would take Iriola, yeah. And if Chelsea are looking at him, then you can't argue about the job being too big for him. I think there's too many journalists that have been very disrespectful of Iriola saying the job, Man United job's too big for him. But if he's going to Chelsea, why is the Man United job too big for him? We're a bigger club than Chelsea, but Chelsea's still a big club, you know? I agree there. MUFC KD says, I agree there. We should have spoken with players by now. With Champions League, it's about expanding our team. Work out Champions League, it's about replacing them. But it might be possible. Players have been spoken with, but it's not public info. It is. I wouldn't believe that. It's just my take. Knowing how it works, let's say Man United have spoken to Alex Scott at Bournemouth and have said, keep it quiet for a couple of weeks. We'll talk to you. We'll come back to you. I'm not saying anything bad about Alex Scott and Bournemouth, but if we've approached the player and said, let's just keep this quiet. We get linked to players we're not talking to. So players we do talk to. And also, let's not forget, if Bournemouth know we've spoken to Alex Scott and Alex Scott's agent knows we've spoken to Alex Scott, why is it in their interest to keep it quiet? It's in their interest for people to know. So I don't think we've spoken to people. Otherwise it would be out there, you know. Let me just catch up here. Thank you very much. I think I've done those. It's probably the old sell before we buy, so we'll be waiting to sell Rashford, Rasmus before we get anyone in. Well, Phil's right. I mean, that could be the next deadline. It could be we get Champions League football, we appoint the manager, but then we'll wait until June to get the money in for Rashford and Rasmus, which obviously won't come in till June. We might not do any deals until July. I don't know. I'm scaremongering completely, but we might not start signing players until July for the new financial year. And we might justify it by going, well, it's the World Cup. We don't need people in for pre-season. So when you think about it, last summer, no World Cup, we were all getting very stressed about we need these players in for early July for pre-season because we brought in so many players and they missed pre-season. For United, they might take it longer this time. They might go, well, there's no point getting them in for July because they won't be able to play. Why pay a player's wages for a month when they're not here? So if you bought Elliot Anderson and you announced the deal on July the 1st, but England get to the semi-finals and he has 2 weeks off, so he won't even be at the club till August, why would you pay 4 weeks of wages? That could be £1 million. So maybe we won't do a lot of business till the back end of July anyway. I don't know, is the answer. I don't know. Okay, great show this morning. Loved the conversation. 68% of you would go for Iriola. 32% of you would go for Carrick. Lovely stuff. Okay, we are back at 8 o'clock today. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. 8 o'clock live tonight, as always. If anything happens, we'll of course go live. I suppose we are starting to enter those areas now. United play tomorrow, of course, and 3 points against Brentford, 3 points against Liverpool, 2 home games in the next 6 days. I reckon we'll do it. Thanks for watching. Speak to you all in a bit. Stay safe. Take care.